On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about cultural intelligence and intercultural dating at our live show in Tokyo, Japan. Now, this show we recorded with an interpreter so that both our Japanese-speaking and our English-speaking audience could attend in Japan, and we're releasing two different versions of it on our podcast, one with and one without the interpreter. So if you do want to hear it with the Japanese along with it, you can listen to that, and if you would rather just listen to the content in English without having to pause for the interpreter, you can do that. This version is the one with the interpreter, so if you do want to hear the Japanese that goes along with it and get the full experience of what this show was like live, then this is the one for you. If you would rather just hear the English version of it, then you can go to your podcast application and it'll be the episode right next to this one, and it will say that that's the one without the interpreter. We had a really great time at this live show and had a really good turnout. We were so excited to be able to do this kind of a show in Japan as well, and we're looking forward to our next tour in the US as well as other countries that we can go to soon. But in the meantime, enjoy this episode, and we hope you get as much out of this as we did.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast.
This is our first time doing a show in another country, in another language. So, yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
So we tend to do an opening question for the audience at each of these live shows. This one pertains to what we're about to talk about with everyone. So who here in the room has been in a relationship with someone of a very different culture than the one that they are in? So, yeah, just raise your hand.
No,
go for it.
大体、ライブショーの時は、質問から始めるんですが、今日、したい質問っていうのは、自分と違う文化の人と付き合ったことのある人を、ちょっと手を挙げてます。
Exactly.
Wow, so many people.
Should we go around the room?
We can. So, does anybody want to share just briefly? You can just tell us what your culture is and what was the culture of the other person that you were with.
Someone over here.
From America, Hawaii, and Japanese.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. America, Hawaii. The other is Japanese.
How about someone from this table?
America, New York, and Japanese, and Korea.
Mm-hmm. Japanese, okay. Korean too.
Great.
Okay. Yeah. America, New York, the 在日韓国って言えばいいんですか? 日本, Japanese and Korean.
Korean. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know you in the front.
I see
experience.
One here too.
Oh yeah, sorry. Please.
Canadian,
okay.
Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Do you want to share?
I'm French and native American and Sri
Lankan. Ah. French American, and Sri Lankan.
With my wife as well, Japanese. I'm Western Canadian, but German and American.
Yeah, definitely. So this can obviously apply not just between dating someone from another country, but also someone from a different subculture particularly, mm-hmm. which I think you have some experience with.
Yeah, I am American, but I also grew up not religious at all. But I dated someone for many years who was Jewish, and it kind of ended because he said, "You're not Jewish, so I can't marry you, so we have to end the relationship." So, unfortunately, that happens.
I feel like I've dated like so many people around the world. It's a little. I don't really want to list off my dating resume right now, honestly. So tonight we want to talk about specifically the concept of cultural intelligence, also sometimes known as cultural mindfulness, and how that affects our relationships, how it affects the way we communicate, how it affects the way that our values interplay in relationships, and also how it affects people who are trying to have non-traditional relationships, such as polyamorous relationships or non-monogamous relationships.
文化的な知識です。もしくは文化的なマインドフルネス。それは例えば心を込めてゆっくりと深く何かをやるということですが、その文化的の知識、マインドフルネスがどういうふうに自分の関係のコミュニケーションあるいは価値観に影響してくるのかということについて話したいです。で、それが非伝統的な関係ですね。ナンtraditionalが主に話したい内容です。
So if we first establish what cultural intelligence is, and basically it's having knowledge and having control over your thinking and your actions, and that may change specifically depending on what culture you are in. So I think for me, the most important part of cultural intelligence is actually having a willingness to drop the attitude of, oh, my culture does it the best. Mm-hmm. Or to drop the attitude of, oh, this other weird culture over here needs to shape up and start doing things the way that I do things.
So also we want to look at how this affects our relationships. And normally when we talk about cultural intelligence, it's for business people. It's for doing international business and understanding how negotiations might work. But we want to talk about it when it comes to things like love and honesty and sex.
Intercultural relationships are apparently on the rise, which is fantastic, and it's primarily due to online dating. There was a study conducted at the University of Essex and the University of Vienna, and it found that online dating has created social links between potential partners that didn't previously exist at all.
はい、オンライン
In the past, a lot of people often met through friends of friends or through work, and that resulted in them often dating people from the same culture over and over again. But online dating has allowed for these connections outside of one's social group, one's culture, one's country of their origin.
で、今までのパターンですと、例えばその職場とか、もしくはあの友達の友達ですとか、そういうネットワークで相手を探したことが多かったんですが、さっき言ったオンラインデーティングのおかげで、あの異文化的な交流が非常に多くなったので、今までのなかったような関係性がすごく多くなりました。
I just want to ask, is there anyone here who has not done any online dating whatsoever?
Online dating やったことない人、そのオンラインを使って相手を探す。Oh, それ全く経験のない人たち、ちょっと手を挙げてください。
Okay, a few. Wow, that's really surprising.
I know.
Yeah. Very, very rare people.
Yeah, definitely. So specifically, we want to talk about, you know, the effect of interculturalism on non-traditional relationships, you know, the quote-unquote non-traditional relationships.
ですから、その異文化的なあの交流がどういうふうに非伝統的な関係に影響してくるのかということについて話したいです。
And it's also funny to even be referring to them as non-traditional relationships because it's like, well, based on whose tradition, right? We call it non-traditional because, you know, the traditional Christian model of long-term monogamy and marriage is something that has already spread to many cultures through globalization, right? Mm-hmm.
で、非伝統的って言ってるんですけど、じゃあ伝統的な関係って何っていうことになるんですが、あのいわゆるそのキリスト教から来ているモノガミ、一対一の関係っていうのが普通になってきてる、伝統的なものになって、でそれが、まあ、あの例えばグローバライゼーションとかを通して、もう本当に世界中に広げてきたわけですね、その traditional relationship、伝統的なもの。
And the funny thing is also that people who do actively choose non-traditional relationships or polyamorous relationships often are within their own little micro subculture within a larger culture, which may involve them having to change or abandon some of the things that their mother culture has taught them in order to be a part of this subculture. There's many, many layers to this.
ですからその非伝統的な関係を参加している人たちっていうのは、まあ、すでに多分自分 の, あの例えば国の中でのサブカルチャーちょっと主流から離れている、まあ、あの周辺にいるような人たちが多いですね。
An example of this is the United States, which tends to be a very competitive culture, and often if you're going to be practicing polyamory in a really healthy wayAn American person may need to kind of abandon that idea that they should be number one or the best in their partner's eyes and that they're going to win their affection and love.
あの、アメリカでは、あの、すごく競争をすることがもう通常で、自分がナンバーワンでなきゃいけないっていうプレッシャーが本当にあるんですが、こういうポリアモリのためにはそれがちょっともうあのなくてはいけないことですから、まずその考えを変える必要がありますね。
And to be polyamorous, you may have to switch to a more cooperative mindset. You have to be more empathetic of your metamors or your partner's partners in order to have a more harmonious relationship, polyamorous specifically. Mm-hmm.
ですから、あのもっとあの協力的な姿勢で、例えばあの自分のメタモル、自分の相手の相手を配慮するためにちょっとその共感をするような気持ちをしないといけないので、全くあの自分の今までの考え方を変える必要があります。
Yeah, so one other thing we did want to say is that inLearning to understand what the norms are for other cultures, we do want to be sure that we avoid stereotyping other people. That, as Dedeker said, to be polyamorous, you already might be going against some of the things that are common in your culture, and that everyone does this in some way or another. That all of us have little things that are different. So this is to help us understand the context, not to...be able to understand what somebody's going to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
ですからもう一つの大切というのはステレオタイプをしないこと。ステレオタイプというのはもう決まったイメージのことなんですけれども、例えばこの国の人は全てこうだっていうことはじゃなくて、もうみんな個人個人ですけど、まあその文化的な背景があるわけですから、それをちょっと頭に置いておくことが大切です。
So tonight we're going to be talking about different cultural spectrums that different cultures lie on. Unfortunately, we can't cover every single possible spectrum of culture because, I mean, in cultural spectrum theory, there's like 30 of them, and we will be here all night and into the rest of the day, since it also will be translated into Japanese. So we're just going to cover a few tonight, kind of as a starting point to start thinking about these things.
今晩話したい内容は cultural spectrum、 文化的なスペクトルのことです。で、30以上にそういうことがあるので、全部話すともう明日にまで話し合うことになるので、全部ちょっと無理ですけど、いくつかをちょっと絞って話したいと思ってます。
So we're going to start out by talking about communication styles that differ between cultures. Usually this is the one that is the most apparent to anybody who has lived outside of their mother culture about how different communication styles can be between people.
ですから、主に話したいっていうのはコミュニケーションのスタイルです。で、自分の国以外の国を住んだ経験のある人たちが本当にすぐ分かるような内容だと思います。
So,the first spectrum of communication is low context versus high context cultures. So do you want to go ahead and explain our context?
一番最初に話したいっていうのは、low context, high context. その文脈、コンテクストが低いか高いかっていう違いのものです。
So in a low context culture,communication, good communication, is precise, simple, and very clear. Messages are expressed and then understood at face value. Low context cultures, they don't rely on contextual elements like the speaker's tone of voice or their body language to communicate information.
And I want to, sorry, go ahead.
Contexto, まあその周りの状況っていう意味もあるかと思うんですが、その低いような国のいわゆるいい交流っていうものが、いいコミュニケーションっていうものが本当にシンプルでクリアではっきりしたものです。で、それはダイレクトに言っているものしか大事にされないわけです。
And I just want to clarify that we do put quotation marks around good, because it's good based on what that culture thinks is good. And I've done this to my Japanese friends many times, and it doesn't always land. but I just want to clarify that, as in, we don't think that it's good, but this particular, low-context culture thinks it's good.
これをすると、いわゆるいい交流。それは、いいかどうかちょっとわからないので、よくアメリカ人がやる。いわゆるいいコミュニケーションがこうだ。ちょっとこう疑問を思いながら説明をしたいと思います。
So, on the other side of the spectrum, high context cultures. In those cultures, good communication is...sophisticated and nuanced and layered, and messages are both spoken but also read between the lines. High context cultures are those in which the rules of communication are primarily transmitted through contextual elements like body language or a person's status or their tone of voice or trailing off at the end of a sentence. だけど。
そのコンテクストが高い国っていうの、いわゆるいいコミュニケーションっていうのは、本当にこう複雑でいろんな内容が入っていて、でその喋ってる言葉だけではなくて、例えば声のトーンですとか顔の表情ですとか、その使っている体の動きですとか、その話してる人のステータスですとか、その最後の方にちょっとそういうことがありますね。
So now it's time for a quiz. SoWhat do people think? Is Japan high context or low context culture?
クイズ。日本の場合はじゃあどっちでしょうか。その低いか高いか。
Yeah, I saw someone pointing up.
This is so funny.
High. Yeah.
Very high. How about the U.S., our fellow Americans? High context, low context. Very low.
The lowest.
Not completely low.
Well, not completely low. Like, there's very few cultures that are at the extremes, right? Yeah. Usually there's a mix, but it's sometimes weighted.
Yeah, Germans, for example.
America wa ma dochi ka tteiu to mannaka. Anmari sugoku takai, sugoku kikui tteiu kuni ga anmari nakute, daitai dokka no mannaka no hou ni aru desu ka.
Do we have any Australians here?
Australia jin imasu ka?
No?
No.
Oh, so we can... Oh, yes? No? Was that a no? Oh, so we can say whatever we want about them. Go ahead.
Australia is another example of low-context cultures.
And apparently Canada.
Also Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Australia, Canada, more high-context.
So what are some other high-context cultures besides Japan? If you had to guess.
British?
Yeah.
British is actually a little bit more middle of the road on that
According
one.
To these people who are doing these studies.
But
does
anyone have direct experience of India?
We personally don't. No.
But yeah, that's interesting.
As far as I understand, in terms of the, the scientists who come up with these things, that depending where you are in India, it varies, but that they tend to be a little bit higher on the context spectrum.
I think the other interesting thing to think about is countries like the US or Australia that are low context cultures are both countries that have a lot of immigrant influx and have had a lot of culture mixing, and as a result, they can't necessarily rely on everyone kind of knowing what all the social norms are, what all the communication rules are.
で、アメリカとかオーストラリアとかその低い方の国の共通点の一つっていうのは移民の国ですね。で、いろんな人バックグラウンドの人たちが混ざって生活してるので
So now, how this applies to our relationships, you could probably guess a little bit already, but if you imagine two people in a relationship, one who's used to a high-context way of communicating and another with a low-context way of communicating, that the high context person might read too much into a little pause or a little change in body language or tone of voice. Whereas on the other hand, the low context person, like us Americans, might completely miss a very important thing that was communicated through a little or pause or something.
例えば自分の相手が自分と違うバックグラウンドの場合はどっちかが高いコンテクストのコミュニケーションどっちかが低い方ですとその高い方の国の人がもしかするとすごく自分のコミュニケーションの中にいろんなメッセージが入っているかもしれないでその低い方の人がもうそれが本当に気づかないかもしれない例えばその 目のとか、ちょっと止まったとか、もう全く気づかないことが多いですね。
So for my work, I work as a counselor, mostly working with people who are in non-monogamous relationships, polyamorous relationships, things like that. And for many years in my practice with my mostly American clients, I pushed everybody towards very direct communication. So I would have clients who would come to me saying, well, I want to have sex with someone other than my partner. And I'd be like, well, go tell your partner. Or I want my partner to cover me in peanut butter. Well, go tell your partner.
例えばそのクライエントさんが自分の相手以外の人とセックスしたいって言ったらじゃあそれをパートナーに言いなさい私はその恋人に自分の体を気熱バッターに塗ってほしいじゃあ気熱バッター塗って 塗ってよって相手に言ってくださいっていうふうにアドバイス。
And so once I started working with clients who were in intercultural relationships, this wasn't working anymore, that I couldn't just tell people, oh, just go tell your partner, that I definitely had to switch my approach to being more like, just make sure that the message is received. How you get there, if you take an indirect approach or a direct approach, whatever is best for you, but just, you know, make sure that the message is received. I kind of had to change what was the most important point in the advice that I was giving.
で、それが、まあ、アメリカ人同士の人の場合なんですけど、その異文化的なクライアントさんと、まあ、働くようになってからは、ダイレクトじゃなくても、その言いたいことがちゃんと伝わればいい。もうそれはどうでもいい。そのやり方としては、まあ、間接的なものになっちゃうかもしれないけど、とにかく、そのメッセージを相手に、どうにかにして伝えてくださいっていうふうにちょっと仕事のやり方が変わってきました。
So even though a culture may be very high context in most situations, in some ways they may be very low context. For example, Japan tends to be high context in almost all situations, but they're explicit about certain things, such as about people's weights. And Jace has a nice story about this.
はい、で、例えばその低いコンテクストの国がそうでない事例もあります。で、その逆もそうです。で、日本の場合というと本当にハイコンテクストで、まあ、言ってること以外のいろんな体の動きですとか、さっき言ったようにそれがあるんですけど、でも話題によってはすごくダイレクトに言うこともあります。例えば人の体重。
Right. So I have a Japanese friend who is living in the U.S. right now, and I hadn't seen her for maybe 6 months, and when we got together, within 10 or 15 minutes, she poked me in the belly and said, ah, totta ne. You've gotten a little bit fat. And it surprised me for a second because to an American that would be very rude to say. But then luckily I knew that, okay, in Japan that's not a rude thing to say, that's normal conversation. But if I hadn't known that, that could have been a problem. I might have been offended by what she said.
アメリカの話なんですけど、日本人の友達で半年ぐらいに会ってなかった女性のことなんですが、再会したらもう間もなく10分ぐらい経ってないうちに、太ったねって言われて、なんかアメリカ人同士だったらすごく失礼な言い方なんですけど、あ、でも日本は結構その体重の話題と直接言うねってジェイスが分かってたから、まあ大丈夫だったんですけど、あ、そういう文化的な価値観の違いというのもありますね。
So in the U.S., we tend to be very low context about just about everything, but we have romanticized this idea that we have to, that our partners need to know everything about us and what we're thinking even before we know it ourselves. But that's a little weird because you're probably not going to always have a partner who knows everything that you want at all times. So it's odd that we would want that in American relationships. Mm-hmm.
で逆にアメリカはさっきも言ったように低い方のコンテクストの国ですから、もう直接言わないともう伝わらないはずなんだけど、自分のロマンチックの相手だけの場合はもう私が言わなくてもわからないといけない、 なぜ分かってないのっていうことが、その相手のロマンチックの時だけに限ってそういうことがあります。
I feel like the Japanese people are getting a way better explanation than we're getting, actually. Which is awesome.
That's good, though.
But I did want to say, this is what we were talking about, where just because a culture might be one way in general, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean it's going to be this way in every single instance. So mm-hmm. it's not to say that by learning these things, you'll just know everything about someone just because you know that they're Japanese or they're Korean or they're Canadian.
Mm-hmm. ですから、その人の国イコール、じゃあこの人はこうだっていうことはないです。国の中でもいろいろその、もちろん個性があるからですね。
So let's move on to talking about other things that affect our communication. Another cultural spectrum is the spectrum of confrontation and how people react to confrontation, whether they avoid confrontation entirely or if they feel more comfortable with confrontation. And I think this is also a funny one to analyze because, I mean, does anyone love confrontation? Does anyone like confrontation?
You look like you were struggling
maybe a little bit, right? Right? I think that's a human thing, right? To feel that we have this instinctual need to avoid confrontation. But apparently it can widely vary depending on culture. Mm-hmm. And so, in cultures that are more confrontational, there's kind of this view that disagreement or debate can be positive for my work team, for instance, or, I mean, for my debate team, I guess, that open confrontation in front of other people can be appropriate, and that that will not necessarily negatively impact the relationship. And the really interesting thing is that this also affects how comfortable people are with direct negative feedback or criticism. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the more interesting part of the confrontation thing to examine here.
で 例えばそのネガティブ、あんまり良くない、ちょっと否定的なフィードバックが来た時に、どういうふうに反応するかっていうことが本当に違ってくるわけです。Right,
so, were you finished with that?
I was finished, yeah. Are we having a confrontation
right now? Yeah, exactly. Are you done?
So, examples of cultures that avoid confrontation is where the opposite of that, that disagreement or debate is going to destroy how your team works together, or it's going to negatively affect your relationship with somebody, and especially confrontation with someone in front of somebody else. Mm-hmm. Public confrontation is inappropriate and would be very disrespectful to do.
Yeah. で、その逆、あまり対立をしない方がいいっていう国もあります。それがさっきも言ったようにその会社の中でもそうですし社会的でもそうです。でもしも対立した場合はやっぱり良くないそういう国もあります。
So we're going to ask the question again, like we did last time. When you think of a high confrontation culture, a culture that's more comfortable with confrontation with negative feedback, anyone want to guess what some of the top Italy. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mexico.
Interesting. Okay.
They're not in the very top, but I would think that they're up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. France is up
that
there.
That is a
France is up there. Yeah.
Korea.
Korea, actually, ironically, no.
At least what social scientists say that it's a relatively a more lower confrontation culture.
Israel?
Yeah, hi.
Yes, hi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Russia.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Russia. Yeah.
Everyone's calling it.
I know, you guys nailed that one. Okay.
Yeah, they read it before.
How about the other side? How about low?
Yep.
What else? Well, we said Korea already is actually on the low side.
Would Britain be on the low side?
So there, with that. Us, US, we're in the middle.
Middle.
We're kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jamaica?
Jamaica?
No, I actually don't know about that one. I don't think that was on the list that I was
What would you think? Okay. Good to know.
Apparently, the Philippines are on the lower end.
The Philippines.
Philippines
are
higher. So, which China is high?
On the low.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to hijack the question, but for people in your romantic relationships, would you prefer to either be confronted or not be confronted if you've made a mistake in your romantic relationship?
Well, we're about to get to that, actually.
No, just how it applies to relationships. Because, yes, a person who's really comfortable with confrontation may automatically assume that their partner would just bring up a problem if they had one. Mm-hmm. But then if you're low confrontation, you may just not bring up any disagreement for fear that it may harm the relationship.
Mm-hmm. 自分がその対立は大丈夫っていう国の人は、まあ、当然に何か問題があった時には話すでしょうっていうことをもう当然のように思ってるかもしれないんですけど、相手が低い国の方であれば言わないかもしれない。そういうことは常に私たちの関係の中にありますね。
And I think that it's interesting that American culture in particular tends to fall in the middle of the spectrum, because I do think that what I see is that Americans are much more comfortable with confrontation with strangers, mm-hmm. confrontation with friends or within the workplace. Okay. You know, it's like if you got a problem, like you're gonna get up in someone's face. But then I think on the other side, Americans are like terrified of confrontation in romantic relationships.
で、アメリカの場合はちょっと面白いことなんですけど、例えば知らない人とか、まあ友達同士ですとか、仕事の同僚の場合は対立あっても全然平気ですけど、自分のロマンチックな相手とだけだったら、もうなんか対立したらもう本当に怖い。それがアメリカの独特な状況ですね。
So,we're going to shift gears a little bit and start shifting away from talking about differing communication styles and talking more about differing cultural values, mm-hmm. you know, the things that are driving us as people about, you know, the why behind the things that we do.
今ちょっと話し変えて、その文化の価値観について話したいと思います。なぜこれをやるのかということですね。
So the first of these is being versus doing cultures. So, to give an example of doing means that your status is earned through the work that you do. That if you stop achieving, if you stop moving up, that your status can be lost, and that tasks and work and productivity take precedence over your personal relationships, and that yourself is defined by your achievements.
はい、これまた別な文化的なカテゴリーなんですけど、 being, doing. Being は、まあ、存在をする、いる。で、 doing は何かをやる。で、まずその何かをやる doing の方の説明なんですけど、もう常に何かをしなきゃいけない。例えば自分の仕事の、効果はちゃんとあるかどうかとか、もう何かをやってないとダメですとか、自分はどれぐらいの成果を上げたとか、それが、まあ、その doing の文化の基本です。
So if you're in a being culture, your status is built into what kind of person you are. And harmony in relationships take precedent. Also, yourself is defined by your relationships and your quality of life.
で、逆にその being、存在をするっていう文化は、自分はどんな人なのか。自分の関係性の調和ですとか、その関係性は、まあ、健康であるかどうかとか、その生活の質ですとか、その何かをやるっていうよりは、ただどういうふうに存在をしてきているのかっていうことの違いですね。
So does anyone have an example of what they think a doing culture is?
Doing, その何かをやるっていう国はじゃあどこでしょうか？
In what time period?
Oh, interesting.
I think we're speaking about the present.
Let's say right now.
今現在 doing 何かをやるっていう国は。
US.
Yeah, definitely.
U.S. is top of the list.
Top
of the list. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. How about being cultures?
Being 何かを存在する
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamAndEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI, at AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
So Japan is actually an interesting one because it falls a little bit in the middle of the doing being spectrum.
But definitely compared to the U.S. is less.
Much more of a being.
More
of a
being.
And so to talk, I mean, this...
Well, do we want to give examples of the most being cultures?
What is the most being culture?
Well,
that's a weird sentence.
So some examples... Some examples are Spain, Cuba, and...
Nepal, apparently.
Nepal, yeah. Egypt.
Yeah.
Spain, to Cuba, to Nepal, to Egypt,
But Australia and Canada are doing cultures.
Yeah.
And the US and
all
Norway.
All those Western countries, all doing cultures.
America, Australia, Canada, とかが
That's interesting. And so to talk about the application of this to relationships, I know... a couple years ago, I was living in Greece, and Greece is closer to the being side of the spectrum. I went on some first dates when I was in Greece with some Greek people. The first date questions, the first question out of their mouths would be, so what kind of a person are you? As opposed to, what do you do for work? And I could not answer it.
デネカの方がギリシャの方に住んでたんですが、そのデートした時に初デートの時に、まあアメリカの場合はよく仕事何って聞かれるんですけど、当たり前のように。でもギリシャ人はそうだなくて、あなたはどのような人って聞こえ、あの聞いてきたから、ちょっと答えられなかった最初。あまりにもびっくりして。
Yes, as an American, being in this doing culture, like my doing is my being. Like, my doing is myself. Like, that's my first answer is, well, I do X, Y, and Z. And I really felt like a dork on all these first dates because I just stumbled through like, well, I don't know what kind of person I am.
まあ、アメリカの場合は、さっきも言ったように、自分は何をやるかによって、それが自分の存在だから、どのような人と聞かれても、私とこれとあれとこれとあれをやってるっていうような答えしかできなかったから、そのビーイングの文化に入って本当になんか新鮮な。
And this also affects not only who we find attractive or what we find attractive in other people, but also what we think other people will be attracted to about us. So in a doing culture like the US, if I want to impress you, I might say, oh, well, I run a podcast for 3 years and also I'm starting another podcast. And I do, and I would list my jobs to try to make you attracted to me.
で、まあ、自分、例えばアメリカの場合は、doingのの文化ですから、相手に、私とあれとこれとあれと、このポッドキャストもやってるし、あのポッドキャストも今度はやるつもりとか、それが自分の相手にアピールをする、それを言ったら、もう認めてもらえるっていうふうには、思ってるわけですね。Whereas
on the other hand, if I were from a more being culture, and someone did that, like, oh, I do this, I do this, I do this, I would think, geez, like, chill. you seem so stressed. That's not healthy.
Not attractive.
相手がビーイングだったら、ちょっとなんか、そんなに何をしてるのかリストアップしないでって。
Yeah, I don't know how to say chill in Japanese.
How do you say chill in Japanese? Hi.
So to kind of start to bring it home, the last one that we're going to talk about is the spectrum of cultures that fall on between uncertainty avoidance, or I guess on the other end is like more comfort with uncertainty. This one's phrased a little bit weird.
High uncertainty avoidance versus low uncertainty avoidance.
確実性が次のものなんですけど、その確実性がないっていう場面をちょっと避けるか避けないか。要するに、その確実性がないっていう状況をどれぐらい受け入れられるかどうかっていうスペクトルがあります。英語で言うと certainty uncertainty.
And this is another interesting one because like the confrontation spectrum, I don't think we think of ourselves as, oh, I love uncertainty and I love change. Like very few human beings feel that way, right? So cultures that have high uncertainty avoidance, obviously, don't like uncertainty, maybe feel more nervous when unexpected things happen or when there's new experiences or novel experiences, maybe have a harder time adjusting, versus low uncertainty avoidance countries that maybe have an easier time embracing new ideas or new things, embracing when rules are changed or when rules are not enforced, possibly. That's kind of where those two extremes lie.
ですから、その確実性がない状況を、まあ、大丈夫っていう国々は、ちょっと、予定が変えても、まあ、平気なんですけど、その逆は、え、プランが変わったっていう、ちょっとストレスになりません。And
so again, I think this one's a little bit tricky, but if you were going to guess what a high uncertainty avoidance, as in most uncomfortable with uncertainty, culture is, what would be your guesses?
で、確実性がないっていう国を、 まあ、なくても大丈夫っていう国はじゃあどこでしょうか?
States? Is the states? People don't like uncertainty.
They're actually at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah, they're cool with it.
They're actually... Yeah,
we're not the most, but
not the most, but
on the...
Okay, with uncertainty?
Yeah.
アメリカ人はなくても平気な方の国です。
If I can clarify a little bit, it's part of that being comfortable with uncertainty is... Things like being comfortable bending rules sometimes might be a way to put that.
Yeah.
I guess with relationships, I hear many Americans.
Yeah.
He left me on red, you know.
Interesting.
So, like, I can understand Americans don't like to have authority pushed on us or, like, any external rules, but we like to kind of know what's happening in our relationship.
That's
a good example of...
So
Japan is very high uncertainty avoidance. Mm-hmm. I was going to say just that about relationships being a different standard from how we are with other things is a good example of, like we were talking about with high context and low context, where we might be low context as Americans, but in our relationships, we often have an expectation that they're just going to know what it is that we're trying to say. Yeah. So that's a great example to bring up.
And so to talk about some examples of countries with, you know, low uncertainty avoidance, apparently Singapore is on the list, which I would not at all expect, because Singapore has a rule for everything in the book. They have rules for, like, what breed of dog you can own, and rules for... You know, how you, if you want to chew gum and you need to be from a pharmacy, you know, crazy stuff like that.
Singapore, 非常にルールの多い国なんですけど、ちょっとびっくりするように、その確実性がなくても割と皆さんは平気ということですね。
But where this often shows up, actually sometimes can be more in the business world, in the way that these different cultures create their contracts. In that, if you look at contracts, in high uncertainty avoidance cultures, will generally be very long. Very, very long and very, very detailed, planning for every possible contingency in that contract. But then in cultures that are low uncertainty avoidance, the thinking is kind of like, well, we can't possibly plan for every possible contingency. Mm-hmm. We can't put everything into this contract, so we're going to leave it a little bit more ambiguous because things are uncertain. That's okay.
So just to give a little more context, so other examples of high uncertainty avoidant cultures besides Japan would also be places like France, Portugal, and Greece, where I've noticed in Japan that everything has instructions on it. You know, like appliances in your home will have, you know,
how to use.
Yeah.
日本以外の国々でその確実性を大事にしている国は フランス、ポルトガル、ギリシャなんですけど、日本の場合は、その説明書、例えば、自分の家の使っているいろんなものの説明書が非常に細かく書いてあります。And
then on the other extreme, besides Singapore, would also be places like Hong Kong and the UK and Sweden tend to be low uncertainty avoidant, would have more of those.
So,
go
ahead. So very quickly, Jessica, is it okay if I pick your brain really quick? You're there in the front. You're the front row A plus student. Because Jessica, you are French, which is a high uncertainty avoidance culture, but living in Hong Kong, which is a low uncertainty avoidance culture. Do you feel...
I mean, torn in two directions at any given time.
Well, now the problem is you've mentioned contracts, and I'm a lawyer, so this is totally true, because French law needs to, like, plan everything, and Hong Kong law is based on English law and doesn't need to plan for everything.
Interesting.
So you can't take this out of my mind.
<laughs> 弁護士だから、やっぱりそうです。その契約書を考えると、フランスはもう全部書くんですけど、香港はまあイギリスに沿ってあの作られてるので、あんまり詳しく書かない。But
other than this,
I don't know, but I mean, Hong Kong is so much, in some ways, similar to both Chinese and Britain, that I think, yeah, maybe. And as for certain avoidance of uncertainty as French, I thought it was just me, but apparently it's all my people.
Hong Kong wa chugoku toka igirisu ni yoku niteru desu kedo その、フランス人としては自分一人がそうだと思ったんですけど、やっぱりこの説明を聞いて、あ、国の国民性だって今、本番初めて分かってきた。
So in relationships, particularly polyamorous or non-traditional relationships, there's always going to be a bit of uncertainty built into that. Because if you go on a date with someone, I don't know, anything could happen, potentially. You don't always know how a new relationship is going to play out. And in polyamory, it kind of pays to be able to roll with the punches, to not necessarily plan for every contingency, because honestly, you're not going to probably always know what's going to happen in polyamorous relationships.
で、ポリアモリーと言いますと、その複数の関係性を持っていると、その確実性がまずないということが基本です。ですから、その、あ、じゃあ全部これとあれとこれとあれとが起こるねっていうことは、まあ、もちろんわからない。もうやってみないとわからないことですから、ちょっとその確実性がなくても、それがない状態になれるっていうことがいいかもしれないですね。ポリアモリをやるとしました。
And I think it's interesting that you pointed out Americans wanting to be very clear about what's going on in a relationship, because I think that is another example of where it's a little bit mismatched within the culture. And I think this is also connected to the doing culture thing as well. Because I think in American relationships, there's always the point where you sit down to have a talk of like,
what are we?
Okay, what are we doing? What are we doing? What is this?
Yeah.
American の場合はもうすごくはっきりしたいです。で、ちょっと付き合ってからはもうなんか座ってで真剣に私たちはどうなの？もうこの関係は一体何が起きているのかというふうにはっきりをさせたいです。アメリカ人の場合は。
Yeah, and I think something that's worth pointing out here is that it's not just about not knowing what's going to happen, because all of us, we don't know necessarily what's going to happen, but it's about knowing what do I do when those things happen. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I respond to it? And I think that's an important difference to think about.
で、もちろん全部わかるわけないですから、一番大事っていうのは、何かがあった時にどういうふうに私が反応するのかっていうことが本当に大切です。
So, in polyamory, for example, no matter what culture you're from, we don't have much of a script, right? That when we get into a relationship and we get engaged and we get married, we kind of know at least a little bit what steps come next. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing something non-traditional, you don't always have that script, and that can create, anxiety and nervousness, and especially more so if you personally are more uncertainty avoidant.
で、ポリアモリーの場合は、やっぱりその主流的な関係から離れているので、まあメインストリームの場合は、じゃあこの人と付き合って結婚をする、もう決まっている、もう脚本家のように。決まってるから、けど、ポリアモリーの場合は、それが全くないです。ですから、ちょっと不安になるんですね。で、個人的に自分がちょっと不安的な人だったら余計にそうです。
And I think that because in so many cultures, regardless of whether the culture is, uncertainty avoidant or not, that so many people want certainty in their relationships, that I think sometimes that's why we see people in all cultures taking part in, secret, non-consensual, non-monogamy, which is cheating.
Mm-hmm. で、これどんな文化にある話なんですけど、確実性が欲しいっていう理由で、まあ、浮気をするっていうことがどの国でもあるかと思います。Mm-hmm.
Because there is something about having a relationship that at least to everyone who's looking at it seems to be following the same script. Mm-hmm. That other people can feel certainty when they look at your relationship and they know, oh, okay, this is a marriage. or, oh, okay, this is boyfriends and girlfriends. And there's not the uncertainty of, like, wait, what, multiple partners? Wait, what, who lives with who? Wait, how? Like, how does that work?
Mm-hmm. So let me just clarify. Mm-hmm. So you mean they're doing it but just not being open about it because it's easier that way?
Yeah, I think that's why that happens in many cultures, because we really get drawn to certainty in relationships.
Okay.
Yeah.
で、それは、なぜかというと、例えば、ポリアモリの場合は、主流から離れてるのやり方ですから、説明をしにくいです。でも、例えば、まあ、複数の人たちと付き合いたいんですけど、それは説明はつかないから、まあ、浮気をした方が、社会的にはもう認められているわけですね。
So this is something that we've already seen happening in same-sex relationships. For example, we have a friend who was telling us about a relationship between two men where all their friends knew and everybody was fine, but they were both on different work functions and saw each other while they were at work. Hmm. And one of the partners just completely ignored the other one because he needed to feel, you know, certain, wanted to feel normal at work, didn't want to make anyone else feel uncomfortable at work. But to the other partner, this was really hurtful and actually ended up leading to the end of their relationship because of that.
で、この同じようなパターンが、同性愛に、歴史的にあるんですね。で、一つの事例としては、男性同士で付き合っていたカップルがいたんですね。で、その職場の周りの人が全部それは分かってたんですけど、片方の男が、まあ、いわゆる普通でいさかったから、無視したわけです、その相手を、職場の中で。で、すごくそれが相手が傷つけられて、結局、別れたんですね。
I mean, I feel bad bringing us home on such a depressing story.
Well, we've got the Q&A at the end.
Okay,
that's
great.
That'll bring us back up.
Yeah. So obviously, there's a lot to learn here. Mm-hmm. You know, the stuff that we've been talking about tonight is really just the surface. You know, if you really want to be A+ students, mm-hmm. go home tonight and Google spectrums of culture, and your mind will be blown, I promise you.
Yeah. So all three of us have been doing this podcast for about 3 years, mm-hmm. and it's really changed the way that we give advice about relationships.
はい、まあ、いろんな内容だと思うんですけど、もしもこの話題に興味があれあるとしたら、ちょっと今夜帰ってきてググってみてください。文化のスペクトルということで、本当にいろんな内容があります。で、私たちは3年間ぐらいにこのポッドキャストをやっているんですけど、いろんなことを研究することによってアドバイスの仕方も変わってきました。
And so as we continue to learn about this and talk about this, it's really helped us to open up the spectrum of how we relate to our listeners and how we're able, you know, what kind of advice is actually going to be useful for people. Because as I learned, you know, in my own job, that just telling people the advice that fits for my culture isn't always appropriate.
ですから、もうさっきも言ったように、自分の文化の、価値観によって自分のクライアントにアドバイスしても、それはクライアントが異文化の人だったらもう全然通用しないので、いろんなこと研究したことによって本当にもう視野が広げて、仕事も本当に広げてきました。
And my favorite thing about all of this is that it also helps us to learn about ourselves. So I don't know, I imagine everyone here in this room at least has probably studied another language at least a little bit that's not their own.
で、何よりも自分をより知ることができるわけです。で、多分この部屋に座っている皆さんが一つの言語だけじゃなくて、まあ、二つ以上の言語をちょっと勉強したことがあるかもしれないですね。
And I found that for myself, the first time I really started learning another language, I learned so much about English. Because I suddenly got to see things that I took for granted, and now I could see, oh, this isn't always how adjectives work. This isn't always how nouns work.
で、自分も外国語を勉強したことによって、英語もより深く理解することができた。例えば、その 動詞とか、あの、名詞とか形容詞とか、あ、やっぱりこういうものだったんだっていうことを理解するようになりました。
And with learning about culture, it's the same thing. It's that by really getting to understand a different culture, I suddenly see, oh, shit. Like, this kind of direct communication or this type of confrontation isn't good. It's just how we do it.
Mm-hmm. で、文化的なこともそうです。やっぱりその対立のやり方が、これがいい悪いではなくて、ただ単にもう違うということを理解するようになりました。
Mm-hmm. So, we're about coming to the end of our time here, and so we wanted to open it up to all of you, if you have any questions or anything that you want to talk about.
And this could be anything. It could be just about polyamory, mm-hmm. or, and it doesn't have to be just about this topic tonight.
Mm-hmm. 何か質問があれば何でもしてください。ポリアモリーでもいいですし、他の話題でも全然平気です。
We're also going to be hanging out after the show if you're high uncertainty avoidant and want to just come talk to us personally. We're totally cool with that too.
確実性はダメな人は、確実性がないっていう人はダメだから、あの、これが終わった後に、あの、もう、あの、そこら辺で飲んでるから、あの、個人的にでも話をぜひしに来てください。
Mm-hmm. 一緒に飲もう。
Yes.
I'm curious, as a poly person who's American who moved to Japan, it's really difficult to find community here. Mm-hmm. So, like, even in the States, but especially in Japan, I always end up being the person who's, like, the token at the party. Mm. Let me tell you about this. But it's nice, of course, to be around people who you can share some common ground with. Mm-hmm. So do you have, I mean, you've been doing this for a few years, right? So you have some, you've reached out to people. You maybe mm-hmm. built some sort of community. Do you have some advice about seeking resources for poly communities?
Hi. 自分はアメリカ人でポリアモリーの人なんですけど、あの、まあ日本に来たわけで、アメリカでもそうですけど、日本は特にそのポリアモリーのコミュニティを探すのがすごく大変です。ですから、そのコミュニティ作りのアドバイスがあれば、ぜひ皆さんは多分経験があるので、教えてください。
My number one advice for finding a poly community is start a podcast.
That's true.
I know that wasn't helpful. I mean, because, I mean, in starting the podcast, in actually, there might be something to that. In talking about it openly, we've been really surprised by how many people have just kind of come to the topic, as it were.
But, そのオープンに話すことによって、本当にもうびっくりするぐらいに多くの人たちのリアクションが。
Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, there's the obvious things like searching for a polyamory meetup group on Facebook or on Meetup, but, you know, usually most poly people have exhausted those options already. Searching slightly outside of that bubble, like to things like LGBTQ-friendly communities, mm-hmm. sex-positive communities, even going further outside of that bubble into, like, really geeky communities, or into, like, especially in the States, like burner communities. Like there's definitely communities where there's overlap, mm-hmm. where they're not directly based on what kind of relationships we're doing, but they are spaces that are like really maybe more comfortable or more friendly with non-monogamous, non-traditional lifestyles, as it were.
まあ、ポリアモリのコミュニティを探してる人は、大体ミートアップですとか、Facebook グループはもうすでに探してると思うんですけど、その他のコミュニティとコンタクトすることによって、まあちょっと違うんですけど、でもオーバーラップする部分が、あの、あるはずです。例えば LGBT のグループです。あの、レズビアン系、バイセクシュアル、トランスジェンダー。あと、セックスポジティブ。まあ、そのセックスをいい、あの、肯定的に思っているコミュニティですとか、あと、キンク、あと、バーニングマンとかバーナーって言うんですけど、そのようなコミュニティを探すと、そのポリアモリが、あの、まあ、いいイメージで、そのコミュニティはもしかすると出会えるかもしれないです。
I'm really glad we have a translator who understands what burners
are. Yeah, I was like, that's really American.
Bonding. They have a community here too.
Really?
Okay, great.
Really?
Okay.
Great.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I think the last piece of advice that I would give is there is something to, if you build it, they will come. There's been many people who, as we've run this podcast, have reached out to us with the same question of, you know, I live in the middle of nowhere, or I live in a small community, or I live in a conservative community. How do I find other people? And often we've encouraged these people to be like, be the first person to create the meetup group.
Yeah, make your own community.
And people come. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of that same thing of like talking about it openly does attract people who also want to talk about it openly. Yeah. Found.
で、コミュニティを探せないときは、自分が作れば必ず人が来るんですね。なので、ぜひやってみてくださいっていうふうに、いろんな人たちにアドバイスをしてる。例えば、田舎に住んでコミュニティがない。で、やっぱり来る。
I also would say stick around afterward and we can talk more about it, but I also bet a lot of people here would also know you know, would have suggestions of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see like, some like
that, the whole shadowy corner over there.
Where is the meetup group?
They're spread throughout.
They're spread around, but there's
some here. Yeah, that's where I came through.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Great. Any other questions? Concerns?
Okay.
I see one over here,
too. Actually, I've had a lot of time, so...
I mean, we could be here for another 3 hours.
What is love?
Baby Tommy,
we don't know.
I don't know if that reference is going to apply. I mean...
You wrote a whole book about it, Denigang.
Yeah. I think that... I mean, if I'm going to bring it to the way that different cultures look at love particularly, that's also a whole spectrum. God, I don't know. I'm so stumped by this one. I wasn't expecting that.
まあ文化的に言えば、その愛の考えが本当にもう山ほどありますね。で、あんまりこうすぐに答えられないような質問。
I think that an important thing to realize is that the definition of love has changed a lot over the past few hundred years, and it's changed in different
also
cultures.
Different cultures.
So, as an example, in was this the 1800s, there are accounts of women who would write in their diaries stuff that to us today sounds like love, that I was in love with another woman.
Lesbian
love. But that they never used the word love because in their culture at that time, two women could not love each other. That was not possible. And so even though we might think of it as love, they wouldn't. But obviously that's changed a little bit. As one example, that was a big chunk, sorry.
文化によってはもちろん違うし、時代でも違っていきました。Is that in the States or where?
No, this was actually in
Victorian England.
Yeah. Victorian England.
イギリスの1800、まあ、19世紀の女性の日記には、まあ、どう見てもレズビアンが書いてあるような内容ですね。でもその当時はその女性同士の愛することが想像もつかなかったので、そのような言葉は使っていなかったんですね。ですから、まあ、私たちから言えば、まあ、女性同士の愛でしょうっていうことなんですけど、その言葉を使ってなかったので、本当に変更してきますね。
And this question actually reminds me of a very fantastic book that I would recommend to everybody. On the podcast a few months ago, we interviewed Carrie Jenkins, who's a philosopher, and she wrote this book called What Love Is and What It Could Be. And she wrote the book in response because she identifies as polyamorous, bisexual polyamorous, and someone had told her, oh, that's not real love, what you're doing. And so, being a philosopher, she went to, well, what is real love? And then there's a book.
Yeah, 私たちのポッドキャストに最近インタビューをした人で、キャリー・ジェンキンズさんっていう人で、哲学者の方です。で、バイセクシュアルとポリアモリーのアイデンティティを持ってる人ですけど、いや、それ、愛、本当の愛じゃないでしょうっていうふうに言われて、じゃあ、私が本を書くってことになって、そのタイトルは、愛っていうものは何なのか、もしくは何に、なれるのかっていうようなタイトルの本を、その結果として
And that's, if anyone's interested, that's a really fantastic book that examines the ways that we used to define love mm-hmm. and how that definition has changed now. It's a really beautiful book. That's me. That's me putting the answer off on somebody else.
まあ、あの、自分直接的な答えになってないかもしれないですけど、この本を読めば、あの、すごく素晴らしい愛情の、あの、今の定義とその昔と比べての、あの、どういうふうに変更してきたのかっていうことを分かるような本なので、ぜひ皆さん読んでみてください。Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Such a big question.
No.
Does anyone want to follow up to that huge question?
A couple more.
I just
want to,
I haven't looked like through all of the podcasts, right, most of them all, but you guys have you done one that has to do with being someone who is monogamous, who's in a relationship with someone who's polyamorous?
We've done a monopoly one. It was a while ago.
Yeah. あの、すべてのポッドキャストは聞いてないんですけど、例えば、あの、カップの中で片っぽがモノガミの人、で、相手がポリアモリーの人の、についてのポッドキャストはやったかどうかで、やりました。
Yeah, it's as Emily was saying that we did do one quite a while ago, but that actually is on our list of ones to revisit now mm-hmm. and do something specifically on. So thank you for bringing that up.
But you, Emily, you just found the monocorn thing.
There is a Facebook group that if you are monogamous but have a partner who is polyamorous, then it's a kind of, I think, processing group on Facebook for that. And it's called Monocorn, I believe?
They call themselves monocorns.
Like unicorn, but monocorn. So look that up, because you have to be monogamous but with someone who is polyamorous to be in the group at all. So.
Facebook グループがちょうどそのためにあって、マノコーン、マスコミとユニコーンなんですけど、自分がモノガミで相手がポリアモリーの人だったら、そのグループ入れ
る。And you, yeah, Jesse. Okay.
So, we have a lot of polyamorists here. I bet a lot of us have had different culture relationships over the years. So, love is not culture.So, for you, when it comes to the rollout of non-monogamy with your new partner, when I started, it was too quick. Hi, I'm Jesse, I'm a non-monogamous.
Like, whoa.
If, for you, has your experience with one culture or the other culture been very different in introducing non-monogamy to your relationships? Or has it been universal?
So, どういうふうにするのか、同じようにするのか、もしくはそれ、あの、変えて、あの、違うやり方にするのか、ちょっと皆さんの経験を考えてください。
それとも、結果がだいぶ違うかどうか。Like, was it very different reaction from people, depending on their culture?
I think, to speak from my own experience, I've definitely found...I have the very American thing of like, hi, I'm Dee Dee, like, I'm polyamorous. I wrote a book on polyamory. I have a podcast on polyamory. It's kind of unavoidable a little bit. And so for people, like one of my partners is British, is from the UK. It's also relatively
low context.
Yeah, relatively low context in that way. And so for him, it was like, oh, great, awesome. When I was dating someone in, like when I was going on dates in Turkey, for instance, and Turkey's a little bit in the middle of the road with context, it was kind of a little bit of a in-between, like not such a great reaction. And then with people that I've dated in Japan, it's definitely been interesting where, yeah, I can bring it up, like, I'll usually bring it up maybe on the first date, and then we'll spend 3 dates not talking about it, and then and then maybe we'll talk about it a little bit on the 4th date, and then another 3 dates not talking about it. So that's kind of how it's been. Sorry, that was a long one.
はい、私はあのディディで、私はポリアモリスト、私はポリアモリの本を書きました。私ポッドキャストもやってる。もうすぐ言う。で、あのパートナーの一人がイギリス人。わあ、よかったねってすごい反応が良かったんですけど、トルコ人の相手はであんまりそんなには良くなかった。で、日本に来たらあのちょっと微妙に、最初はその話はしても全然平気ですけど。もうちょっとしたら、まあ、その話題をやめる。で、またちょっと少しずつ話すとか、聞いたりしながら話
してる。I think this question is interesting because even within one culture, people really cover a range on this. There's some people who feel that by mentioning it up front, like on a dating profile, for example, right first line, I'm polyamorous.That eliminates so many options and doesn't allow people to get to know them first. Whereas other people would say, by waiting, I might be wasting their time. Yeah. If for them that's something that's a deal breaker, that's no deal, that's dumb. So that even within one culture, people really have a range on this. Mm-hmm. I'll let you do that part first.
文化の、あの、中でもやっぱりあのやり方いろいろあります。例えばそのアプリデーティングサイトにあの自分がポリアモリスっていうふうにあのすぐ書く人がいる。なぜなら相手がそれをもうすぐに分かった方がいい。でも他の人はあんまりあの直接書かない。なぜならそうすることによっていろんな関係性の可能性がちょっと低くなるから。で少しずつ後でまあ言ってみるかもしれないあのっていう考えもある。
What I will say, though, that I have found both in the U.S. and also in dating in other countries is that the reaction might be different depending on their culture. For example, if I'm dating in Russia, I might get, you know, that's fucked up, you're doing it wrong, because they're a confrontational culture. Or if I'm in Japan, it's like, so this car, right? It's like, oh, interesting. But that over time, especially if I have kind of a friend relationship with them, that over time it can, in either case, not feel so threatening to them, because they see, oh, you're not a total alien. This is just one part of you that's a little different from the rest of the culture, just like I might have parts of me that are different from the rest of my culture.
で、例えば、まあ、相手があんまりそれに対する理解がなかったら、まあ、ロシア人だったら、例えば、あなたはもう変人でしょってすぐ怒ったりするかもしれない。で、日本人は、あんまりリアクションは出さないかもしれない。でも、どっちの場合でも、やっぱり時間を、立って自分が悪い人ではないっていうことを分かってきたら大丈夫。
So we are coming up on the end of our talk time right now, but we are going to hang out afterward with all of you. We hope you can all stay, have some drinks,
yes.
Meet other people, have conversations with us. And you can find out more about us at our website, which is multiamory.com, or on Twitter at multiamory.
まあ、これを終わりにしたいと思うんですけど、あの、これから飲んでるので、ぜひ話をしに来てください。あと、multiamory.com っていうサイトぜひ見てください。Twitter は @multiamory です。ぜひチェックしてください。
So for people who want more information for English speakers, my first book was published this year, The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory, so you can find that on Amazon or...I guess there's no Barnes and Noble here, so on Amazon.
And 書いた本、Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory が Amazon.com にあるので、ぜひチェックしてください。
Amazon.co.jp も。
And for the Japanese speakers, Fukami Kikue-san, who is here tonight, wrote a book on polyamory, Polyamori Fukusu no Ai o Ikiru, that the Japanese speakers can find to get more information on polyamory and non-monogamous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a workshop this coming Monday evening on communication and consent. You can find more information about that on Facebook. If you look for Multi-Amory Workshop, then it should come up.
If they search for what?
Multi-Amory workshop.
Online?
Facebook.
On Facebook.
On Facebook. Yeah. Yes.
Facebook today, Multi-Amory workshop.
And also FetLife and Meetup.
Yeah.
FetLife to Meetup.
We wanted to thank the Tokyo Poly Group, especially the lovely Jesse, and our wonderful interpreter, Kimberly.
Yeah, thank you, Kimberly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Also, thank you to this amazing venue, Good Heavens, and Paul. Thank you, Paul. So much for all your help.
Please feel free to stay here, relax, drink, hang out.
Order some food.
Order some food. Exactly. It's great.
And the shepherd's pie.
The shepherd's pie.
Fantastic.
Great. All right. And thank you, Tokyo.
Thank you, Tokyo.
Thank you.